Welcome to Voices of Freedom. Radio. Hey, it's great to have you here today. We're always looking forward to talking about Jesus and to give you lessons that matter. And you say lessons that matter, don't they all? And I think they sure do, especially when they come out of God's Word, right? But there's something special about the concept or the idea that the Bible is 100% true, okay? If I never really grasp the idea that the Bible is 100% accurate, I'm probably never going to grow the way Jesus wants me to grow. I may not even be truly saved at the end of the day. So there's something about it that we need to really pay attention to and really do our best to understand. So this morning, I got up and I got a bit of bad news on a deal, and we've worked on it for quite a while. And the more we thought about it, or the more, you know, that everybody thought about it, it was really kind of something that popped into my mind was, did God allow this to happen, or did the devil jump in and make it happen? And, you know, I just started thinking about the different places in the Bible where we can take a real good look at who knocked me down. That was the title of the lesson today. And you say, well, what do you mean, who knocked me down? Well, when we really stop and look, sometimes God will knock us down, and then sometimes Satan will knock us down. I think it's over there in 1 Peter where Peter said that the devil was roaming around or pacing back and forth like a roaring lion, you know, just looking for your weak spot. You know, we know that who the Lord loves, he chastises. Meaning, when God is trying to get us into a position to do things, sometimes he has to knock us down to get our attention on it. And you say, well, Lunsford, you're old now. You're 50 years old. So what in the world? What's he knocking you down? You ought to know everything. And you know, when I do have a situation like this and I do start thinking, man, I do think about my sin. You know, let's be honest. I think about the people I've said things to that I shouldn't have. And I almost think, let's go apologize. But I think, well, you know, sometimes you can make that worse. And then I think about the people that have wronged me. Then I think about all the innocent people that are in the middle. And, you know, I think about the good things and the bad things. And, you know, and you just wonder, what direction is all this craziness coming from? And that's part of life out there today. Is as a young Christian, or even as a Christian that's been at this for 20 years like I have, you better know where it's coming from, and you better know that no matter what happens, you're still safe in Jesus, and you better pay attention, right? So what in the world am I talking about? Well, let me give you a situation where God allowed the devil to tempt somebody. I think a lot of us could call this book out. It's called the Book of Job. The devil was roaming back and forth between the earth and heaven, and God said, what are you into, devil? And the devil said, well, roaming to and fro, and, you know, and God knew what he was doing. He was just trying to find a weak person or somebody that couldn't handle the pressure, somebody that he could dive on. And I always try to keep in mind the story of Job, because Job, he lost everything. It took him right down to nothing, and God restored him. So, you know, I'm not guaranteeing that whatever's been taken from you is going to be restored, but I really believe if we get our eyes on heaven and the fact that we are eternally secure with Jesus, if we're really saved right now, none of this other stuff's going to matter. It's going to hurt, and there's going to be things that, you know, I was just thinking today, you know, I could easily be living in a city mission. And you say, oh, but Lunsford, your wife is a doctor, and, oh, you got a house, and you got, you know, oh, you got family, and you got, listen, I'm telling you, I could easily be living in the city mission, and I could go through and show you some things and tell you some stories, but I'm telling you, wow. I mean, you got to see yourself in a need. You got to see yourself as being in a situation where, you know, you could be Job. You could lose everything, and then what is your mindset going to be? And that's kind of where I've tried to be at over the years, is trying to keep that even mindset or that even keel, because there's been some ups and there's been some downs, you know. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that go through the same thing. And, you know, we've got family illnesses, and I was listening to some stories yesterday of some people struggling, and I know what's going on. And sometimes we look at God and we say, God, why did you let this happen when it had nothing to do with God? See, because there's in every situation, there's three possible people to blame something on. I mean, let's be honest. You know, let's say something tragic happens. Well, there's a person, there's a party that caused it to happen. Sometimes we do things to ourselves. Okay? Sometimes the devil does do something. Why does the devil do things? You know, to distract us, to discourage us from God, to blame it on God. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, what do you find? Eve said, oh, I can't eat of this tree because if we do, we'll die. And the devil said, oh, surely not. You see? Oh, surely not. Doubt, the deceiver, you know, a murderer from the beginning, a liar, the truth is not in him. You know, there's all kinds of things that God says about the devil. So any little way the devil can get in, he would like to get in. Here's something that we don't always get in the Bible lessons, but it's very true, and that is that God will use evil in order to accomplish his will. He'll use somebody that's pure evil to knock you down and bring you to a position where you see you've got to have Jesus. Well, ultimately, that's the greatest thing in your life is the point where you have realized that you need Jesus Christ. You'll never have a better time. You know, you'll never have a more, come to yourself moment than you will the moment you surrender to Jesus Christ. Because I can take you to the place right now. I can tell you the time where the Lord saved me. That's a song. Because that's the power of our God. So after that, what does God do? Did God just open up the storehouse and say, Lord Jesus, go on, or Brooke, go on in, get whatever you want there and get that new convertible and that big mansion and how about this new job with, you know, all these perks and 6 weeks of paid vacation, you know, on and on and on. He didn't do that, okay? But he did start working with me. And all of a sudden, for years, the devil had never bothered me. I was under conviction a few times over the years, probably for 10 years, probably from age 10 to 20, about all the time. Knew I should have got saved, knew what I needed to be doing, right? So I knew all these things, but I fought it. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I really, just be honest with you, Lord, there's really some things I want to do, and I know you're against them, so I'm going to go ahead and do them, and I'm just going to take a chance that you're going to be here when I get done. Man, that is the scariest time of my life, and I'd already lived through it. But to look back on those days and see that that is basically what I told the Lord, that is the scariest stuff that you will ever in a million years. That's the scariest stuff you'll ever in a million years live through. Oh, I live through it. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to rock and roll on toward the future. But is that not the scariest thing in the world? Because I basically said, God, the things I want to do, the sins I want to commit are so important that I'm going to lay you over here, but I'm going to come back someday. Man, oh, man. I told a story, and I'll share it here. It's about Grandma's house. My grandma was getting older, Grandma Lunsford, and she wanted to move to town, and oh, everybody was swooning on it. Oh, Grandma, don't move to town. Oh, the home place. Oh, the farm. Oh, the, you know. Well, what everybody had forgotten was nobody was stopping around to meet or visit with Grandma much, right? So when you stop and you look at all these different things, Grandma had every right to move to town. You know, there's a lot of churches around that are just dead as dollar bills. Dead as doornails, I think, is what the old. So, you know, what keeps them open? Well, they want somebody just to stay there because it reminds them of a gentler time. Listen, you want to see your church stay open in these country places? Go to them. The same Jesus that's over that church, he's over these churches all over the world. Here's one church, people. Now, if you feel like there's a problem there, can't get the problem out, you need to go somewhere where you can fellowship. You need to go somewhere where the Spirit of God is at and you can grow from the lessons that you're taught. That's just what that is. Now, let's go on. So when I get knocked down, you know, the idea is that you learn to get back up. You know, when your child was born and they were walking around and doing whatever, all of a sudden you turned him loose, you thought he could walk, and he took a step or two, he took a step, bam, down. See, our whole life, everything about us is built on a sort of a trial and error. We walk, we learn to crawl, we learn to walk, we learn to run. You see, everything is progression. And the same thing with Jesus Christ. Jesus has a master plan for you and me. That master plan that he's got for us, man, oh man, he can't wait to give it to us. And the thing is, I don't care what we're going through here today, it's temporary problems. Temporary. You say, well, how do you know it's temporary? Maybe it's all the way to death. Listen, if I'm going to live eternally and forever in a place called heaven, everything's temporary to me. You see? At the end of the day, with all the crazy that's going on out here in the world, with all the things that are happening, is there any wonder that people have a hard time understanding what God wants from them? And I'll be honest with you, like today, this was weird because I thought this is such a good message because I just had got the call that we'd lost that little deal. And it just made me think, well, who did this? Did God allow this to happen? Was it in the course of just it rains on the just as well as the unjust? Was it the devil gouging me? You know, because as I said, the devil never bothered me when I was lost. He never bothered me. I mean, I could do just about anything, and my conscience never bothered me at all. Well, guess what's going on now? Just about everything I do, there's a moral checkpoint of like, ooh, that was not very well said. Ooh, you shouldn't have said that. Ooh, you probably shouldn't have done that. Ooh, you shouldn't have thought that. And, you know, we got into it in the Sunday morning Sunday school lesson is, you know, talking about your thoughts. And, you know, if you sit around with evil thoughts all the time, well, it don't matter if it's all the time or not, if you read Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches something new. He talked about breaking the Ten Commandments, right? But he added something new there, Matthew chapter 5. He says, if you've even thought about adultery, if you've even thought about stealing something, if you've even thought about coveting something from the neighbors, you see, if you've even thought about these things, you see, now all of a sudden you stop and you think a little bit. If you've even thought about it, how about that? You ever stop and think about it? Man, oh man, if you've even thought it, you're guilty of it. So what does that mean? That means I better stay in pretty close touch with God and say, Lord, forgive me, because I've definitely been thinking things I shouldn't have been thinking. And we all let our minds drift. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. I'm telling you, if I'm sitting around here and I have nothing to do, which is, you know, not very often, but, you know, sometimes you'll get around and your mind will drift on you. And you'll daydream and you'll, you know, whatever else you want to call it. And at the end of the day, you better be careful with your thoughts because your thoughts turn into action. If we look at King David over there, he took an action. He saw something. He made a plan to get something. Then he stole something from somebody else. The only lamb, Nathan said, the prophet Nathan said, the only lamb this man had, you stole it. So he stole the only lamb that Uriah, I believe, was his name. Bathsheba was the wife. And he killed Uriah in order to have Bathsheba and to cover it all up. And he lied and he cheated and he stole. He broke about all 10 commandments there. But through all of that, God was with him because he realized that Nathan, when Nathan told him the story of the man who had thousands and thousands of lambs, and he went and stole the lamb of a man who only had one, David was furious and wanted to put that man to death. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art that man. Can you grasp that for a second? Can you think about the situation? You know, man, oh man. And that's where we're at today. Did God knock me down? Man, I hope so, because if he locks me down, he loves me. Did God turn me over to a reprobate mind there that talks about in Romans? What's that mean? That means I did my own thing so long and nobody could tell me anything and I ain't a change and I'm doing it my way for so long that God said, you just go have at it, son. But I'm thankful to God that he didn't turn me over like that. I'm thankful to the God in heaven that no matter what happens, I'll never suffer like Jesus Christ suffered. Oh, my feelings get hurt. Oh, things happen. Oh, I wish, you know, my life, if there's 10 points in my life, 9 points are just A+. 9 points of my life are 100%. And there's just a point in my life, and I'll be honest with you, I'll just tell you what it is. The business that I've had a goal from the time, I don't even know when I've had it. Well, probably since college, maybe. And I can't hit that one goal. I can't hit it. And I've hit it a couple times, you know, and to not sustain it, it is, you know. And the thing is, I know God can do it. And then when I get knocked down or I see a tremendous failure that would make you want to quit, I say, well, is that the devil saying you need to quit? Is that God saying you need to quit? You know, I used to substitute school teach every day. I was sure God had that as a mission field for me. Man, I've been in church lately, and I've seen a bunch of kids that I had in school. I mean, and it is good to see them. You know what I mean? I'm thrilled that these people are saved. You know, did I have anything to do with it? No, I don't think I did. But, I mean, I won't know. I get to heaven someday, and Jesus says, see that one over there? Well, if you hadn't have said this in that class that day at that time, she wouldn't have been here. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work. But somebody's looking at me to see, am I going to lose my mind because I lost money today? Am I going to lose my mind because something didn't go my way today? Am I going to lose my mind? You know, and we all make mistakes. We all say the wrong thing. We all do the wrong thing. We all might have the wrong body language someday. But at the end of the day, with God in heaven, man, oh man, oh man, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's got the master plan for us. He's got a plan that is so lined out and so fixed up and so ready to go. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd. We talked about him yesterday. He maketh me, leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me to the place where the food is. He restores my soul. He's going to make my enemies my footstool. I don't know why people are against us sometimes. And I only hope that some of the people that are against me, I hope they're against me because I love Jesus and I put it out there. Now, maybe I put it out there too strong on people. I don't know, because a lot of people just live Jesus and people look at them and they just naturally love these people. I know a lot of them. You just look at them and you say, you just know that Jesus is knee-deep, well, neck-deep in these people's lives. And that's fantastic. But I also believe, just like Peter was obnoxious in that Bible, I also believe there's got to be somebody out there screaming, put Jesus first, you know. Get Jesus out there, not in a fanatical way or, you know, not in some of these cult-type things that are going on out there. But there's, you got to be as bold as a Christian as you were as a sinner. Whatever your personality was, in my opinion, when you were lost, God didn't change your personality. He needs you to be that Peter, right? He needs you to be Paul, so assured in what you're going to say. He needs you to be Paul, where if you're up or down, you got to be secure in your relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the master of the sea. Jesus is the power of the universe. All this other stuff, God is no respecter of persons. You know, did God knock me down? What did I deserve from God? The wages of sin is death. I deserve to die for what kind of sinner that I was. So he spared me death. A living sacrifice is my reasonable service, Romans 12:1 tells me. So guess what? I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. So does Jesus want me to be super successful where I could give away millions of dollars to charity? I think, why not? There's lots of people that do that. But what is the probability for me to do that? Because I have to be thinking, hey, if he's not giving me the one thing I'm missing, what is the deal? Am I not persevering? Am I not pushing through? Am I supposed to push, 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 because one day he'll restore that? One day he'll bring back that ability? Because that ability was there in my mid-20s, early 20s, mid-20s. I did pretty good. I did, you know, I did pretty good for a young guy. But I look at all this and I'm like, you know, maybe your goal's too high, but I think, is anything too hard for the Lord? I don't think it is. Yeah. Am I trying to work, do the work, or am I expecting God to do the work, or why does the devil care if I hit this? Would I help too many people? I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be honest with you. When you're looking at something, why did this happen to me? Why did God take Grandma? Well, Grandma was 80 years old. Grandma was hurting. Grandma had a better place to be. Right? There's lots of reasons to take Grandma out of here to heaven. Okay? There's lots of reasons for babies to leave this place early. Abortion is not a reason. But I'm going to tell you something. There's lots of people out here, lots of young people, that growing up in the situation they're going to grow up in, that may be their only chance to get to heaven, and we're not going to understand it, and our heart's going to be broken. But if we really stop and think, maybe that was that child's only opportunity to see heaven. Heartbreaking, isn't it? But you and I have a job to do, and that's to tell people how to get to Jesus. And I'm so afraid that we really don't know where we're at. So the fact that we don't know where we're at, we're not real likely to share it with somebody else. We've got to be sure about Jesus in our lives, whether it's good, whether it's bad. You know, I just shared personal thoughts with you today. I'm not saying you should share those with others. You know, some people might not feel that good sharing the failures that they've had, you know. But I'm telling you, it's my failures that make me who I am today. It makes me understand the situation you're in. And when you say, why me, Lord? My initial thought is, why not you? Because it happened to all of us. We've all gone through things. There's things I heard about yesterday from different things. And I was like, wow, really? Just the pain and the suffering and the surgeries and the cancers and the sicknesses and all the way to death. And at the end of the day, man, at the end of the day, the Lord has a master plan. And it includes you. You ever stop and think about that? God has included you in a master plan. And in that master plan, you will one day judge angels. One day you will wear a robe of white. Even right now, you're part of a royal priesthood. And you say, well, I don't feel much like a priest. Listen, he's still working on us to make us more and more like what we're supposed to be. God has a master plan for us. And in the master plan that he has, he wants a relationship with you and me. He wants a relationship with you and me. See, with God, he says one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day is what talks about over there in Peter. So with God, the temporary failures that we go through, it's nothing for God. I wonder if he even pays attention to them in a way. You know what I mean? Because he's not measuring us against the world's fame and fortune calendar or fame and fortune yardstick. He's measuring us against his eternal plan for us to be more and more like him and have a relationship with him. See, this year, this time of a morning when I do this lesson, I hope there's thousands of people listening. But do you know what it's really about? It's really about my time to talk about Jesus and to praise Jesus for what he's done for me. Now, this is a good lesson this morning because I can't tell you the answer. Right? Somebody knocked me down this morning. I don't know if God did it, God allowed it to happen. I don't know if the devil did it or the devil put someone else out here to do it, you know. But I know all things work together to good to them that love the Lord, so sometimes it's hard to understand that when you get knocked down. But at the end of the day, there's something going on there. There is a plan. There is a goal because it's all temporary stuff. The trials of your life, worketh patience, and patience, I think it is understanding or something. Things are going to happen. Move through these things. Be what Jesus wants you to be. Up or down or all around, it does not matter to Jesus. He's not interested. You're contributing nothing to what Jesus wants other than a relationship where you spend time talking to him or reading his word, studying and meditating on him, or meeting with others and glorifying the Lord. He's really not that concerned. I'm 110% sure that he is not concerned about anything else other than those things. And I believe that. Have a great day. God bless.